Well, we ended last time on kind of a grim note, wondering if the very anchor for Grand Rapids prosperity, the Itasca Paper Company, was going to be able to survive. Its output is still small, and it just simply hasn't expanded as had been hoped for. So let's take a careful look at what's going on. As we have noted, citizens of Grand Rapids in 1916 shared many of the concerns and aspirations of those of 1900. They still hoped for large-scale agricultural and nearby mining developments that had not materialized. They still discussed the need to promote tourism as a profitable local industry. But most of all, they still saw the need for attracting new industry to Grand Rapids to offset the loss of the lumberjacks. In 1916, the Businessmen's Commercial Club set as its main goal for the year the securing of additional manufacturing plants in or near the town. So what of the paper mill? What of that industry that it seemed to offer such assurance of prosperity? In Grand Rapids by 1916, there was a certain ineluctable disappointment with the Itasca Paper Company. It was not that the community lacked confidence in the mill management. Anselm Bussard, after all, had become one of the town's best-known citizens and continued to enjoy a position of respect and leadership. In 1915, for example, when the mayor of Grand Rapids unexpectedly committed suicide, shocked council members, without hesitation, appointed Bussard to fill the 9 remaining months of the mayoral term. However, they neither asked Bussard whether he wished to accept the position nor notified him of the appointment. And when Bussard learned of it in the next day's newspaper, he declined the honor. And it was not that anyone in Grand Rapids denied the impact of the paper mill on the area's economy. When a Herald Review writer computed its effect on the region for a 1916 article, he found it staggering. The mill had paid more than $1 million in wages since first constructed, and most of that money had been spent in Grand Rapids. The $6,000 monthly payroll was vital to replacing the money once brought in by the lumberjacks, and the company had consistently purchased wood for pulp, fuel, and also for making shingles. And they were buying that wood from area suppliers, large and small. By 1916, the purchase of 17,488 cords of pulpwood alone had resulted in a significant amount of money spent in the stores of Grand Rapids. The Herald Review writer added that the money paid to settlers for wood had particularly aided and encouraged them in clearing and developing their farms. He estimated the paper company had spent another $100,000 in the community for miscellaneous needs. But the thrust of the article was that these impressive figures should serve only as an example of what might be achieved in Grand Rapids. The town needed much more, and the writer concluded with an appeal for a systematic search to bring new industry to Grand Rapids. And it was not that the citizens of Grand Rapids were unappreciative of the sizable investment of the Kaukauna entrepreneurs. The owners of the Itasca Paper Company calculated that by 1916, they had spent $400,000 on their mill property. Nonetheless, a comparison of taxes as an indication of economic impact is revealing. In Grand Rapids, 2 banks paid the most, followed by the Itasca Paper Company. Some of the town's leading merchants, such as John Beckfeldt, were not far behind. Elsewhere in the county, 2 of the major mining companies together paid 8 times as much in taxes as the Itasca Paper Company. An editorial in the Herald Review lamented, "Our proximity to the range has familiarized us with conditions which unlimited wealth may produce. But the village of Grand Rapids cannot imitate its more fortunate neighbors. If our council tried to do so for even a month, the town would be reduced to extreme municipal poverty." Well, no one demanded or expected that the paper mill equal the wealth generated by the giant mining industry, but many were disappointed that the anticipated growth of the company had not occurred. Low water in the Mississippi and the resulting loss of power at the dam negated much of the opportunity the river had seemed to offer. That, in addition to setbacks in the paper trade, had kept the Kaukauna investors from fulfilling their own expectations. Clear to all was the fact that although Grand Rapids had become involved in the early stages of paper manufacturing in Minnesota, large-scale newsprint production had become a reality, not in their town, but in Cloquet and Sartell, and especially in International Falls. Thus, the Grand Rapids mill had not been an unqualified success for the Kaukauna owners. Frequently frustrated by their Grand Rapids property, they had not received substantial dividends or earnings from their investment. During a particularly bleak fiscal year ending in April of 1914, the company received only $40.09 per ton of paper, despite production costs that amounted to $40.36 per ton, so a loss of 27 cents for each ton of paper sold. The next year, the selling price averaged $39.40 per ton, with production costs reduced to $38.92. But even with that, on a good day, the plant's maximum output of 28 tons resulted in profits of only $13.44. The owners had agreed among themselves to sell the mill as early as 1907. Isn't that something? Just 5 years after it started, and they already were thinking that they would be well off to divest themselves of what they had done. When they didn't find a buyer, they continued to maintain and expand the operation as best they could. Well, in 1916, the world market for newspapers steadily increased as citizens everywhere sought news of the war in Europe. For manufacturers of newsprint, that year was good, although there were some difficulties. For instance, the Itasca Paper Company was forced to produce newsprint in its natural straw hue because it could not obtain dyes formerly imported from Germany. But such problems were more than compensated for by the strong demand for newsprint. During the fiscal year ending in April of 1916, the company's profits took a great leap to $4.78 per ton. The large quantities of newsprint produced in Canada by then were partly used there and in England, and the balance was not enough to offset the shortages in the United States. For newspaper publishers, the newsprint shortage was a major problem, and the price definitely favored the manufacturers. And here we encounter for the first time Charles K. Blunden, business manager for the Dispatch Printing Company that published the St. Paul Pioneer Press and Dispatch, had the responsibility for securing newsprint for the two papers. Only a very few newspaper companies owned their source of newsprint supply, but to Blunden, who had always approached his work with imagination and flair, the idea was appealing. Noting a real danger to our papers unless we could assure ourselves of a supply of print paper, Blunden began investigating the possibility of acquiring a newsprint mill. He'd already visited several properties in the paper-making districts of Wisconsin when the plant in Grand Rapids caught his attention. Learning that it might be for sale, he investigated further. On August 22, 1916, Blunden telephoned Frank Becker in Kaukauna and asked him to journey to St. Paul to discuss the sale of the Itasca Paper Company. Becker replied he could not come for several weeks because of prior engagements, but never one to waste time. Blunden telegraphed Becker the next day to inform him he would arrive in Kaukauna the following morning. Although Blunden in later years stated that it took only a brief time to agree on terms, the negotiations actually required 2 full days. They were agreeable to a selling price, and that would be $600,000, so that was a suitable amount. But there were many other details that were sticklers. Eventually, at the end of that second day, they did arrive at agreement. Becker was very quick to notify Anselm Bussard. That news was not released to Grand Rapids, but word got out nonetheless. And with astonishment in Grand Rapids, the question was, is this good? Is this bad? What's happening? The paper mill sold? Next time.